WYLL
Chicago
wants to send you packing
to Atlanta, Georgia to attend a church service led by Michael Youssef of Leading the Way.
Sign up at WYLL.com.
Get your entry in now at WYLL.com.
What do you suppose piddling little families with only 5 or 6 children do with themselves?
They're instant priorities. You know you have to protect them and provide for them.
You've given me a massive headache.
Your children well.
It doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes an army.
And know they love you.
The hospital made us take it home.
We'll look back on moments like these as the happiest in our lives.
It Takes a Parent with Betsy Hart is brought to you by Huntington Learning Center of Lake Villa, True North Mortgage Corporation of Arlington Heights, and Beautiful Beginnings. You can meet Betsy's sponsors at betsysblog.com.
Church hopping is insidious. Seriously, it is dangerously insidious. I am not talking about becoming a new Christian or moving into a new community and visiting churches until you become, you know, committed to one and you become a member, which should happen as soon as is reasonably possible. I'm not talking about finding unaddressed scandal in the church leadership or a church which, you know, changes its beliefs, or maybe you come to have fundamentally different beliefs than the church body and it's a matter of conscience. No, I'm talking about any of that. I am talking about people who decide after they've officially joined a church, oh, you know, that pastor down the street is a little more high energy than mine, or, you know, gee, the music isn't really meeting my needs right now, or, I'm really not that crazy about that new children's church director. And then they just get up and leave and they go to a new church until they hop from that. Here's where I think my Roman Catholic friends really get it right. You know what they tell me? I've had them literally say to me, "You Protestants are so focused on your personal relationship with Christ that you forget it's not all about you." Exactly. And I've had this brought to mind as I see people coming and going from my own congregation. I belong to a vibrant, growing evangelical church, but sometimes people leave to start attending a different church in the same community for some superficial reason. Sometimes I know the reason, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I even disagree with them on whatever the satisfaction might be, but every time a person who takes a vow of membership decides to leave a church body, whether it's my church or any church, for a superficial reason, they leave a hole. Their departure affects their pastor and my children and other members of the body. And I think the sentiment of Scripture is that barring something extraordinary, they don't have the right to do it. But I think I know why church hopping in the Protestant culture in America is a growing and insidious problem. And I'm going to share that with you in a minute. But first, I'll share with you that you are listening to It Takes a Parent with Betsy Hart on AM 1160 WYLL. You know, we do things a little differently here on the show. We like to say that our ultimate goal for our children is heaven, not Harvard. And so we focus on the world closest to home, our families. Producer Lynn has the week off, but we are going to be checking in with her via phone as she and I talk about how are we doing with all those pre-summer promises we made to ourselves about how we were going to do things differently and better this summer with the 9 young kids we have between us. Friends, you may remember that in May, we interviewed David Stahl, director of the Promised Land Children's Ministry at Willow Creek Community Church in South Barrington. He had some great tips for building our kids up over the summer. There was something about painting a garage. Well, we're several weeks into summer, and are Lynn and I keeping the resolutions we made? We will revisit that interview with David Stahl and hold ourselves as moms accountable to those hard questions. But, you know, as I think about this rising trend that George Bonner has chronicled and it's been in publications and the Christian Science Monitor has written about it, Christianity Today has written about it, it kind of reminds me of the lack of commitment we even have to our marriages. There's just no sense of anything bigger than me. It's all about, am I happy in the moment, whether it's a commitment to a church or a commitment to a marital union. If we're not happy, we just move on. And that is a terrible reflection of what's going on in our Christian culture. But you know what? It's the Protestant churches that have really normalized divorce in our culture. I think that's a tragedy. And I don't know if it's cause and effect. It's hard to tease out what's what. But I know that these throwaway marriages and I think more and more throwaway church memberships are a symptom of our all-about-me Christian culture, our all-about-me culture in America. And I think that's a shame because, you know what? We're never going to find the perfect church or the perfect spouse. And I think when we can, we need to change what we can in those relationships. We need to keep our eyes on God, especially when we can't, because only in that process are we going to find real peace and real joy. But that's what's been frustrating me this week, and something's else been frustrating this summer. A little bit to do with my kids. Are we finding peace and joy in our homes this summer? Is it even possible with the kids home? You are listening to It Takes a Parent with Betsy Hart, and you can listen to a podcast of the show anytime on betsysblog.com. And a new feature to my blog, I'm posting daily parenting tips. I may have more to share as a result of my failures and my successes, but I hope you'll visit. And it's there you can learn about our sponsors, including a new sponsor we welcome to the show today, Beautiful Beginnings. Fine baby furnishings and apparel is a very special place in Western Springs and Lincoln Park, and we are proud to have them partner with It Takes a Parent. But am I proud, as producer Lynn proud, of how our summers are going with our kids? Back in May, we talked with David Stahl, who directs the Promised Land Ministry at Willow Creek Community Church, about how to make this summer of real use to us and our kids. Let's listen to what we talked about then, and then let's check in with what's happening now. David Stahl, welcome to It Takes a Parent. We are delighted to have you on the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you today, Betsy.
Well, thanks very much. And, you know, you and I have talked about this stuff, and I've even called you and said, gosh, you know, David, this is going on, or what's a way to reach my child when it comes to this issue, or how do I work with my kids and help them to become better prayers and that kind of thing. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to have you on and talk with us a little bit today about summer's coming up. And I know you have some great ideas for things you like to do with your kids, and to think of summer not just as a time off, but as a time for building relationships. And I love that. And I wanted you to share some of your principles with the audience if It Takes a Parent.
Yeah, you know, the summer months offer some incredible opportunities just because kids aren't going to school. There's a lot of time to be had and all that, but it's a matter of how are you going to use it, because so many summers it seems like all of a sudden you wake up and it's August and school's going to start Monday and you wonder, where did the summer go?
Right.
So when I'm asked, what can we do this summer, I have a couple ideas that seem to have worked in. And all of these I've just sort of stumbled into myself. But one is...
Just tell us what works. I don't care how you got there. I don't care if you stumbled. I don't care if you walked. I don't care if you ran. I just need to know, and my listeners need to know what works.
Well, here's one thing that'll definitely work, because as school winds down, teachers and the actual school itself will probably suggest to kids and to parents to make sure that kids read over the summer.
Right.
That's pretty universal, and it does do kids a lot of good to make sure that they read all summer long. Well, why not have them read books of the Bible? You know, there's some great action stories in the Bible,
sure.
Great action-filled books. If they're going to be reading anyhow, I say don't have a summer devoted all to Nancy Drew mystery books. Weave in books of the Bible and then talk with your kids about what they're reading. Here's what I do. When my kids are reading a particular book of the Bible over the summer, I'll read the same book.
Okay, so then you can talk to them.
Yeah, and then ask them, okay, what have you been reading, and what do you think that means, and just striking up conversation that way. But again, it's sharpening the reading skills, which the schools and the teachers will love you for, and it's all
even though it's religious books, that's okay.
Yeah. So we do that. Also, another thing that we do that's somewhat related is when we go on vacation. You know, a lot of families go on vacations during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
What I do is I give it some thought ahead of time as far as having a verse or a few verses from the Bible that we will focus on as a family while we're on vacation. Because there's always time in a hotel room, in a tent, in an RV, or wherever, where you have time for conversation. And what we do is I just have a note card for each day, and I say, okay, here's a verse. Let's all read this verse
okay.
out loud, and then let's talk about it in pieces as far as what it means. And so we'll read the verse, and then I'll ask my kids, so what do you think that means? Why did Jesus say that? Whatever. One of my favorite
okay.
ones that we did was from Mark chapter 12, 29 through 31, where Jesus talks about the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. And I said, what do you think he meant by that? What do you think the Bible means by that? And you know what? It's a great conversation. Sometimes it's a great conversation that lasts about 13 seconds.
That's where I was wondering, like, is this a real time-consuming thing? I mean, the kids are sort of thinking, well, we want to ride the roller coaster tomorrow, and we want to get our hot foot sundaes. And, you know, does this work to kind of bring that into that whole mix? You're saying they're not so distracted that they can't enjoy some of that time, too.
Yeah, you know, and that's the art of parenting as far as weaving it into some spot where you're going to be having conversation anyhow. You know, I don't suggest people saying, okay, we're going to cut out the fun for a moment.
Sundays for you today. We're studying Mark 12.
Yeah.
And if you don't, we're not going to throw a big wedding for you.
No choreography
for
you.
And it's not going to be in Maui.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's the reality of if you're on vacation and, you know, you're waiting for dessert to come to the table or whatever, you can have a conversation then when you're all sitting around getting ready to, go to dinner or right before bed or whatever. There's times where if you're thinking, when do I have 3 minutes where we could have a conversation? And if it goes longer, we'll delay whatever we had planned to have a discussion about Mark 12:29.
Okay.
Just don't make a bigger deal of it than it needs to be, but be ready for some profound conversations because it really does work. I call it taking a verse on vacation.
Very good. And yeah, because sometimes your kids really can surprise you. Even my 5-year-old will come up with these amazing questions where I have to stop and look at her and kind of say, where did that come from? So, and David, one of the other, pointers that you and I were talking about, and I thought this was so helpful, is to not link the church calendar with the school calendar. I love that. Can you explain that one?
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of times parents will decide that during the summer we can get a little lax as far as going to church because, hey, it's summer vacation, school's done, and all that. Well, what happens is that when your church attendance pattern changes and goes down during the summer, what happens in the mind of a kid is they equate going to church with going to school. And so I think that is a contributing factor to the reality that everybody in church work knows, and that is that when kids turn 18 and they stop going to school and they leave home, all of a sudden they stop going to church too. That's because they have been linked as far as, well, when it's school season, it's church season. When we don't go to school, mm-hmm. we don't go to church. So I encourage parents from an early age, just because it's summer, don't stop attending church. Continue your regular church attendance pattern. Yeah, you'll leave and go on vacation for a couple weekends during the summer. That's fine. But show your kids, teach your kids what's really important no matter what season of the year it is, and that is going to church.
Excellent. Excellent. I love those points. I'd like to put them up and credit you on my blog and betsysblog.com. And if you can stay with us for just a couple more minutes when we come back, I want to ask you, David Stahl, how do you keep your kids from driving you crazy when they're home all the time over the summer? You are listening to AM 1160 WYLL, It Takes a Parent. Do come back because I know I'm standing by for David Stahl's advice because I've got about 10 long weeks coming up. So stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to It Takes a Parent.
When your child says,
why do I need to learn this?
The truth is,
I don't understand it.
When your child says,
I don't like school.
The truth is,
everybody reads better than I do.
When your child says,
who cares about college?
The truth is,
I have bad grades.
Recognize the signs. Call Huntington Learning Center at 1-800-CAN-LEARN to help your child do better in school. The truth is, Huntington can help. Your child can learn. Call now, 1-800-CAN-LEARN.
Huntington Learning Center is now open in Lake Villa. Right now, get a $200 evaluation for your child for only $75. Find out if your child is on track or needs a little bit of help. The $75 evaluation is only valid at the Huntington Learning Center of Lake Villa. Call Karen at 847-395-6741 to make your appointment today. 847-395-6741. Huntington Learning Center of Lake Villa on the southwest corner of Deep Lake Road and Grass Lake Road in the Tower Lakes Crossing Strip Mall. 847-395-6741.
A new baby is on the way, a beautiful beginning for you and your family. You can't wait. But what will you need to prepare? Beautiful Beginnings. At Beautiful Beginnings, you'll find everything you need for your baby's nursery, from the fine furnishings to the beautiful art for the walls. When you walk into Beautiful Beginnings, you'll get the sense of a new baby right down to the smell. The owners and staff are experienced moms. They have 30 children between them. So the knowledge about babies and products in their store is priceless. Their designers will help you decorate and design your baby's nursery with all the things you'll need and many unique things you won't find anywhere else. Find out why people from all over the Chicagoland area shop Beautiful Beginnings. Visit Beautiful Beginnings today for the 40% off sale on spring-summer apparel. Fall apparel is arriving soon. beautiful beginnings in Western Springs and now open in Chicago in Lincoln Park, or online at shopbeautifulbeginnings.com. That's shopbeautifulbeginnings.com. Beautiful Beginnings, celebrating babies since 1995. Welcome back to It Takes a Parent. I'm Betsy Hart on AM 1160 WYLL. And today we're revisiting an interview with David Stahl of Willow Creek Community Church on how to build up our kids over the summer. And producer Lynn and I promise to be honest when we tell you how we're doing. We'll talk with Lynn by phone in a moment. But, you know, I asked David the key question. I love the idea of building our kids up. How can I do that and kind of not go crazy ourselves? Let's face it, we're nuts about our kids. But it can be a little hard suddenly having them on the scene for 10 weeks. Here's what David had to say.
You know, one of the places that my wife and I have started to focus on is giving our kids a substantial project to tackle for the summer.
Okay.
And I'll be real specific on this one. My son and daughter this summer have been challenged with painting the inside of our garage.
Beautiful.
And it's white right now. They're going to paint it white again.
And okay.
You can't ruin white. Okay.
That's right.
And, what happens is that they have the responsibility to figure out how to get it done between the two of them. My wife and I aren't going to supervise. We're not going to do anything other than open up the cans of paint and help them wash the brushes afterwards. But during that time, what happens is they have to figure out how to budget their time, how to attack the project, how to work together. And importantly, because I am paying them to do this, a little bit of money, they need to figure out how to not spill the paint, because I'm going to deduct pay for every spill spot they have. But what happens is it gives them a very substantial thing to work on and occupies them in a real healthy way. They learn that if they work hard, you get paid for it, and that's the way life works. And they also learn how to get along. They learn how to accomplish something. There's all sorts of great lessons. What it takes, though, is just a little advanced planning on our parts to say, what are some projects that are age-appropriate that they can handle, but that they can handle on their own, that don't require me or my wife or a parent at all to help with? Those are the ones where kids will surprise you with how much they can accomplish and how much fun they have feeling like they're responsible for something.
And then they get to feel proud of what they've done. They can see that they've worked together. They've contributed to the home. Can your kids come over and paint the inside of my garage?
Oh, my gosh. How old are your kids, Dave, the two that are doing this project?
Yeah, just wait to see how well they do.
All right.
Dave, how old are your two kids that are going to do this project?
My son is 13 and my daughter's 10.
And you're saying that they have to work together to figure out how to paint the garage. Do you anticipate any fighting between them?
No, I don't, because actually this is the second time that they've done it. So they did it a year ago also. And they figured out real quickly that if they fight, they waste time and they're more likely to spill paint. So we just tell them, listen, if you fight, you're not going to get paid either. Some would say, hey, Dave, you're paying them for good behavior. And I say, no, I'm preparing them for the real world.
Yep.
Because guess what? If you go into work and you start fighting with people, that paycheck isn't coming then either.
Oh, fantastic. David, great suggestions. Like I said, Lynn and I are taking notes. We think you should hire your kids out in the neighborhood. If I could get mine to work together and do a project like that, I think we'd really be on to something. David Stahl, Director of Promised Land Ministry at Willow Creek Community Church, thanks so much for spending some time with us today. I hope I'll be talking to you before summer, but I sure hope you have a great one. It sounds like you're set up to do just that.
All right, you too, Betsy, Lynn. Great. Thanks a lot for having me.
Oh, terrific. Thanks for coming on the show. Okay, so I'm taking notes and thinking there's not going to be any painting going on at my house. So, you know, but it doesn't have to be that. I like Dave's idea of finding some project that kids can do together, not just clean the basement, but maybe my older ones could, for instance, be responsible for matching up all the DVDs, VHS tapes, and their boxes, for instance. I mean, I think sometimes when I really lowball my kids, I really don't think that they can do some of the things that, you know what, they really probably can do if I just give them some direction and some responsibility.
Oh, I know I'm so guilty of this. I mean, in the summertime, I have this little chore chart.
This is where I got it from. And I love your job chart.
And I print out my little chore chart, and then because they're kind of like everything that needs to get done each day. And then I just assign a kid to it, and then they wake up and do it. But what I don't do, and I love Dave's suggestion about having kids work together. I never do that. And you know, the honest truth of that is because
we're afraid they're going to fight and make it harder on us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what Dave tells me is, you know what? If they fight, he doesn't get involved. See, I get pulled into the job of the referee. Mm-hmm. And I need to take note of what Dave said. And I'm going to give them some jobs this year where they have to work together. And I'm going to refuse the job of referee.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's really hard. I mean, sometimes it is just so much easier to do it ourselves than to make sure the kids either do it right or do it thoughtfully or do it without killing each other. And, you know, maybe, you know, this is giving us some encouragement that, you know what, we can assign them some chores. And I think what he's saying is you have to think through what that looks like. You can't have them, you know, putting on a new roof.
That's
although,
right.
You know, maybe we'll get to a point when we can do it. But look, when I was little, I don't know about you, but we were shoveling driveways, doing the grass. My brothers had to paint the house. They had to change those nice little old-fashioned things called storm windows.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really created an environment that was very positive. Anyway, I know I'm going to be putting up a whole lot of resources on my website. Go to betsysblog.com. I'm going to put up Dave's three-point suggestions, his idea about the project, and lots of books and summer reading for parents and kids that I really like that I think can help draw parents and kids closer together, help us build each other up spiritually, and give some moms and dads some encouragement for those 10 long weeks that lie ahead.
And maybe Dave would consider taking a couple of our kids into his home with him and having them do specific jobs.
I love it. I love it. Well, that's what Lynn and I had to say just a few weeks ago when we talked with David Stalls. We were heading into the summer. Now the summer is close to half over, and we're talking to Lynn live today about how are we doing, kind of holding ourselves accountable, and has anybody painted a garage? We've got 9 kids between us, and we need to check in and see how we're doing. Lynn, how are you?
I'm very good.
Hey,
you're going to hold me accountable.
Yes, I am. Hey, listen, me too. So we miss you in studio. We're glad you're having a great time in Wisconsin. And I thought it's kind of painful sometimes to have your own words come back to you and then kind of say, okay, am I living up to that? We haven't painted any garages at my house. I am pretty good on the job chart. We're not as far into some of the summer reading I wanted to do. I wanted to do the Ken Sandy material about conflict resolution. We're a little bit into that, and I'm excited we're going to be having him on next week. How are you doing, Mrs. Carlson?
Well, you know, I fell short as well on several different categories, but the one, I just loved David Stahl's big project idea, and that we immediately implemented. We had, there was no way I was going to do paint. I had vision of paint in all the wrong places, so we went with something much simpler. Mulch. We had 10 yards of mulch delivered to
now,
the house.
Now, that's a lot. That's 10 big cubic yards, right?
Okay. You know what? It's really an enormous pile.
Okay.
And we told the kids, hey, if we don't have to pay to have this spread, you can spread it, and then we will purchase the Wii for you. They were.
All right. My kids have already played that with your kids. Okay.
They were dying for the Wii.
Right.
So I'm telling you, I have never seen my children work so hard on a project, because again, the carrot was the we
right
out there. They worked so incredibly hard. Who knew?
You're kidding.
It was great.
I love your kids, but I mean, did they fight? I mean, what was going on there?
No. Well, we told them that they couldn't fight.
Okay.
We told them if they fought, we weren't going to get them the Wii.
So all 5 kids were doing this?
Absolutely. Now, do I think that some worked a little harder than others? Sure. And I did hear some grumbling amongst themselves.
Okay.
But they didn't bring it into me or my husband.
Now, see, that's what my kids do is they argue about who's doing more work. And I will say to them, the older kids are supposed to do more work. They have more responsibility and they have more privileges. But inevitably, I hear that mom, you know, Olivia isn't picking up her share. Did you just literally shut the door to that and they had to work it out?
I did shut the door to that. And one time I did have to talk to the boys because they're bigger and stronger. And this was a difficult job. This was a job that took a lot of muscle. So frankly, as you said, the bigger, stronger kids can spread more mulch than, you know, my 8-year-old.
Okay.
So I did have to tell them, hey, guys, you know, this is reasonable that the youngest is not going to spread as much mulch as the oldest. We just need to have everyone in motion the whole time.
And how long did it take?
It took probably about 6 days.
Wow. I didn't know it took that long. That's awesome. Can they come over to my house and do some stuff?
Yeah. You know, we're not talking 8-hour days here, but still, you know, a couple hours here, a couple hours there. One time there was a storm coming in. It was lightning. I had to just demand that they stop spreading. And then what was interesting is I had no idea that these weeds were so hard to find.
Uh-huh.
Because then, okay, they were finished. And I'm like, yep, absolutely. Here we go. We're going to go by the
Uh-oh.
We couldn't find them. So then they got on the phone. I have never seen them so industrious, calling all the store managers, talking to the store manager, strategizing about when the weed might get shipped and when we had to sort of, you know, be at the front door of Target. And it was great. They finally figured it out with the store manager.
Awesome. And my kids have been able to play the Wii system with your kids and benefit from your kids' manual labor. Oh, Lynn, that's great. Well, I hope you're having a great summer. And I think David Saul gave us both some high bars to achieve, but also some really reasonable things that we can do and kind of work into our day. And I know I'm having a little bit more peaceful this summer this year, and I'm grateful for that. So, Lenny, I will talk to you soon. We have to let you go, but thanks so much for checking in with us. We miss you, and we'll see you back in studio soon. Friends, I'm afraid I have to let you go, too. Hey, thanks for listening to It Takes a Parent. Thanks to our sponsors, the Huntington Learning Center, Beautiful Beginnings, and True North Mortgage. Please visit the show, our sponsors, and our new feature, the Daily Parenting Tip, on betsysblog.com. That's betsysblog.com. And next week, join us as we talk with Ken Sandy, head of Peacemaker Ministries, about how to help our children successfully learn to resolve conflict with their friends and siblings, and maybe with their parents, too. Have a great week. And remember, as Paul told the Philippians, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Have a great week.
Have you heard this?
Hi, may I speak to Mrs. Dirk Hissing?
And perhaps you responded.
It's Dirk Hissing, and, well, I'm right in the